Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are finishing off the 19th Perek of Maseches Shabbos with Perek Yotes Mishnah Hey and Perek Yotes Mishnah Vav. In Perek Yotes Mishnah Hey, the Mishnah is going to teach us that there are times when it is impossible to perform a bris milah on the 8th day or even for several days after the 8th day. Says the Mishnah, Kata Nimo L'Shmona L'Tisha V'La'asara U'La'acharasar V'La'shneimasar. That a child is sometimes going to have his bris milah on the 8th day, sometimes on the 9th day, sometimes on the 10th day, sometimes on the 11th day, and sometimes on the 12th day. Lo pachos v'lo yoser, never is it going to be earlier than the 8th day, and never is it going to be later than the 12th day. And the Mishnah is now going to explain each situation, when a child would be born on each of these days after his birth. Now, this is just parenthetically, this Mishnah is very reminiscent of the Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Megillah that says exactly, you know, on what days a person might lay in the Megillah, either on this day or this day or this day or this day. It's a very, very similar type of Mishnah to that. Says the Mishnah, Haketzad, how so? What are the examples? What are the situations that a person might give a bris milah on the 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, or 12th day? Kedarko l'shmona, in a normal situation, a baby boy is going to have his bris milah on the 8th day. That's what's typically done. Nolad lebein hashmashos nimo letisha. If a regular child was born during bein hashmashos, as was the case with me, for example, I was born during bein hashmashos. Bein hashmashos means that you were born during the period in between Shkias Hachama and Seisa Kochavim, sunset, and when it's pitch black and the three stars come out. If you're born during that time, so it's unclear, are you part of the previous day or are you part of the next day? And because it's a suffix, it's a doubt, we assume that we're going to give you the next day. We can't certainly have you have a bris milah early. If it's really going to be the second day, then if we give it to you on the first day, then it's going to be like it's on the seventh day, which isn't going to work. So we have to make it the ninth day to make sure that it's either going to be the eighth or the ninth, because this is a case of suffix. This is a case of doubt. Continuing in the Mishnah, Bein Hashmashos Shel Erev Shabbos, if a person is born on Friday during Bein Hashmashos, again, we're unsure if it's Friday or Shabbos that he's born, then Nimo La'asara, then he's going to be born on the 10th day, meaning he can't be circumcised, he can't get his bris milah the following Friday, because that might only be the 7th day. He may not have the bris milah on the following day, on Shabbos, since he might then be the 9th days, and a child who's older than 8 days may not have her bris milah on Shabbos. Therefore, he has to have his bris milah on Sunday, when he might in fact be 10 days old. Continuing in the Mishnah, Yom Tov La'achar HaShabbos Nimo La'achar Asar, if he was born during Bein HaShmashos on Friday, and Yom Tov falls out on the day after Shabbos, meaning on Sunday, then he has his bris milah on Monday, which would be the 11th day, meaning he can't be circumcised on Sunday because a child who is older than 8 days old may not be circumcised on Yom Tov either. Therefore, when does he get his bris milah? He has his bris milah on Monday in this situation when he might in fact be 11 days old. And the final case of the Mishnah, Shnei Yom Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah Nimo L'Shnei Masar, if he was born during Bein HaShmashos on Erev Shabbos, and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are on Sunday and Monday, then he would have his bris milah on Tuesday, which again would be the 12th day, since he can't have his bris milah on either day of Rosh Hashanah in this situation. And then the Mishnah concludes by saying, Kata nachola ein moalinoso acheyavri, that a sick child does not get a bris milah until he becomes healthy, and interestingly enough, as the Bartzinora points out, and he has to remain healthy for 7 full days. That's 168 hours. And then he can have his bris milah to be sure that the bris milah will not put him in danger. So once he's healthy, you got to wait another 7 days. And then he can have his bris milah at that point in time. Continuing now with Perek Yotes, Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah is going to conclude with some general halachos about bris milah. The Mishnah is first going to teach us how much of the foreskin, the skin on the person, on the child's private part, must be removed for a bris milah to be valid. It says the Mishnah, Elu hein tzitzin hama'akvin es hamilah. These are the shreds, the pieces of the foreskin. Again, the small pieces that remain from a foreskin that was not completely removed that prevent the bris mila from being valid, says the Mishnah. Basar hachofe esrov ha'atara. If the flesh of the foreskin covers a majority of the raised portion of the child's private area, then that's not going to allow the bris mila to work. It's not going to allow the bris mila to be valid. That as long as these shreds remain, the bris mila is invalid, and the child is still considered to not have a bris mila. Ve'ino ochel b'truma. And if he's a kohen, then he's not going to be allowed to have truma, because a kohen who doesn't have his bris mila is not allowed to eat truma until the bris mila is taken, is completed, and in this case, until these pieces of skin are completely removed. Now, even when the foreskin is completely removed, there are other parts of the body also that may need to be cut away, other flesh that might need to be cut away. V'imhaya bal basar, if a child is a little bigger, so much so that even after the foreskin is removed, the flesh above the private part on the child's private area droops and covers the area of the bris mila. So it appears that the child doesn't have a bris mila, even though he does. Misakna mipnei maris ayin, he should still fix it by cutting away the remaining flesh, because it appears like he's not circumcised, and because of maris ayin, we would want to cut even part of the other parts of the private part to prevent it from looking like he doesn't have a bris mila. Now the Perek and the Mishnah concludes by discussing the part of Priya. Priya is the final part of the bris mila, that after the foreskin is removed and the Priya takes place, and this basically involves tearing the thin membrane that covers the top of the private part of the child and peeling it back, exposing the area of the bris mila. And the Mishnah says, mal v'lo par v'lo par es hamila, if he circumcised the child but did not uncover the circumcision by peeling back the part of the child's skin, kilu amal, it is as if he did not circumcise at all. If the Priya didn't happen, it is as if the bris mila did not happen as well. So you need both the foreskin to be completely removed, and you need the Priya to happen as well. Quick review: Perek Yutes Mishnah Hay discussed cases in which a child would be born on the would have a bris mila on the 8th day, the 9th day, the 10th day, the 11th day, or the 12th day at the end of the day. It was dependent on Bein HaShemashos. We said that if the child is born during this twilight period between Shki and Sezegochav, sunset, and when it's completely nighttime, so then we make them have the bris mila on the next day. But then if Shabbos gets involved, then we'd have to even make it go further. And if Yontif gets involved, then even further. And if it's Rosh Hashanah, which is 2 days of Yontif, then even further. And that's really what would allow a bris mila to happen even later, because again, a child who was born during Bein HaShemashos, during twilight, is not going to have a bris mila on Shabbos or on Yontif as well. And the Mishnah concluded by saying that a sick child is not circumcised until he becomes completely healthy and remains healthy for a full 7 days after that. And then Perek Yutes Mishnah Vav just finished discussing the halachos of bris mila in general, and we said that there are certain pieces of the foreskin that are larger, that if they remain, that if they're not completely removed, then it's not going to allow the circumcision to be valid. And we say that it's the flesh of the foreskin that covers the majority of the corona, and so on, which is the top of the child's private area, then he would not have a valid bris mila until that is removed. And then the Mishnah, that if a child is a plump, a little bit larger, and certain areas of skin make it seem like the child's doesn't have a bris mila, so there too you'd have to remove those pieces of skin as well to prevent it looking like the child doesn't have a bris mila. And the Mishnah concluded by saying that if a child had the bris mila, the foreskin was removed, but it wasn't, we didn't uncover the circumcision by peeling back the membrane of the child's private part, then it is as if the bris mila did not happen. We need both the foreskin to be removed and the skin needs to be peeled back as well. Have a great day.